Oh, thank you. We just appreciate you just for who you are. If for nothing else, just for you being you and showing us your will and letting us be a part of your will. And we don't take it lightly that you've chosen us and decided to use us. Who are we that you are mindful of us to even give us your principles, even give us your anointing, or even give us the access to your grace? And so we appreciate it. We're thankful. I mean, we will do our best to be everything that you want us to be. In ourselves, we are nothing, but in you, we're everything. And so we totally rely on you and your presence and your power and your being and who you are. None of us, all of you, we must decrease, you must increase everywhere, in our minds, in our hearts, in our hands, in everything that we do, in our study time, in our prayer time. You must increase. So we thank you for your will. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your gifting. We thank you for connection. God, we just appreciate the privilege. We just appreciate this moment in time for us to be here, such a time as this. We thank you. What you're going to say, give us the ear of the learned so that we can hear whatever it is that you're saying to our hearts. Open up our hearts, open up our minds so that we're able to receive. And let your will be accomplished so we'll learn what you desire for us to know and be who you desire us to be. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And you can turn your books to chapter 3. Finally. Well, we left off this past week, and I ended up having a good conversation with Apostle and First Lady the other day, just talking. We just at the house talking about some things, and I started talking to him about what we were talking about dismantling things, and how sometimes when you get to this apostolic way, a lot of people won't choose to go this way because that means they got to break down a lot of ways that they've built already. But what I love about this book is say building correctly and accurately, building vision correctly and accurately from the onset, from the beginning, from the start. If you build properly, you never have to go back and break down any ground. You know, when you have to go back and break down this ground, you waste time. You know, it's never about if God's will is going to happen or not. It's always about how long it's going to take you to get there. You see people that go, you know, it just, sometimes it's even if you're going to see it or not. You know what I'm saying? We believe God will all live a long time, amen? But it's just how long is it going to take you to get there? How long is it going to take you to realize that you ain't got it? Like, how long is it going to take us to realize that we got to rely on something bigger than us? And not just in my prayer time and not just in my preaching, but in everything. Like, he got to be all. Not selective, not a, God, I got you right here, but, you know, I don't know about over here. You know, the part of your life that God is doing the least in is the part that you've given him the least control in. Y'all get what I'm saying? The part of your life that God is doing the least in is the part of your life that you've given him the least control in. When I pray now, and when I say this, I'm not saying this for you to have to do this. This is just what God got me doing. When I pray in the spirit now, I got to start off on my face. And I start off on my face. I ain't holding on to nothing. I'm just flat out on the ground. Because the Lord told me, you break down. It's a symbolism. When you get out here on me and you really trust in me all the way, you ain't got nothing holding you up. You ain't got your arms bracing you. You ain't got your knees breaking. You just all out for me. And when you get to that point, that's when God can do something extraordinary. You want to see somebody that God is doing something extraordinary with. You see people that, or you see a ministry, or you see a church that God is doing extraordinary things in. I guarantee you it's a ministry or a church or a minister that's totally dependent on God. And there's nothing, there's no fallback plan. There's no plan B. Plan G and that's it. Y'all get what I'm saying? There's nothing else but that. And this is the place that God is trying to get us to. Every time we read about Jesus, you even hear Jesus saying, what you see me do, I only do what my Father tell me to do. I don't know nothing but what he's telling me. Jesus said that. And so we have to get to that same place in order to get to church unusual. in order to get some unusual things going on in the church, I remember we are the church, even outside in the world, in order to get some unusual things going, we're going to have to realize that we got to totally rely on him. That's not the easiest thing to do, because we know some stuff, don't we? Tell the truth, we know some things, and we done learned some stuff through hard knocks, and we done lived some life a little bit, and we got some scriptures under our belt, and we didn't, y'all second year students, huh? So we didn't went to class the second year, right? Right? We got some word and everything. It's not the easiest thing to do. I understand it. Even in myself, it's not the easiest thing to do. I'd be lying if I told you it was, but yet we are endeavoring to be that. We're endeavoring, we're constantly moving forward to get to the point to where we just jumping out on the cliff. Just jumping off the cliff. If God say jump, I'm jumping. And he's responsible for everything. Now who gonna do a better job? You or him? You know what I'm saying? Who gonna help us fly better? You see what I'm saying? Who gonna take us to the high? So it takes that to be able to jump off that cliff. Even this chapter 3 is talking about moving the church into a supernatural element. Moving the church to back where it's not just natural church, or it's not just church as usual, or not just church regular, or not just going through the motions, or not just doing the same old things over and over again. But when church is taking place, something supernatural. Like what it says, moving the church into its supernatural element. That means, if I say its, that means it owns a supernatural element. That means the church has a supernatural element. All right? But a lot of times we haven't seen it because of so many other things. Y'all can go up and down. Y'all been in church for years and years and years. Amen? So we can go up and down and see all the rituals we've seen in church. We know all the rituals. We know all the rules. Right? We know the ins and outs. We know all the different little religious, traditional things that we do. We got those down pat. But why the world ain't changing? Why are these people not beating down the doors? Right? Because we've gotten away from the supernatural element. The supernatural element that it was built on. First line said, the church has always been seen as a people organization. It is often seen as a seeker-friendly association. It has, listen to what he said, never is a big word. It has never been seen for its supernatural and the heavenly side. I love people, I do. Just minister, you got to have some love for people. I tell you that now, first and foremost, when I'm saying this statement, I want to clear it up. I'm not saying that it's not, I mean, we're made of people. The people, the church is the people, all right? We get that, all right? But it's not a seeker friendly, or it's not just a people organization. So in other words, it's not built around just what the people want. Or people pleasing. You know how hard it is, all right, and I'm gonna make it real practical right now. All right, watch this. And let's just say I did this. Let's say I come in the room and I say, I'm buying dinner for all y'all tonight. All right, let's just say I said that. Well, I don't know what you eat. You eat that, you eat that. You don't eat fish. I don't like Chili's. McDonald's on full fast food. I don't do this. So now I'm trying to please every single one of y'all. I'll never get it done. We'll be all night. I've tried. You ever order food for a lot of people before? You ever had to try to take order for a lot of people? Yeah, it's not the easiest thing to do. And when you try to, you ever try to cook for a lot of people and try to please everybody? You're probably not going to do it. It's hard to do. So it can't be because, so you got to cook one meal and say you either eat it or you ain't going to eat it. Right? This is what we cooking today. This is what we got. If you don't want this, you need to go somewhere else. So same thing with the people organization. It cannot be built off of what the people want all the time. Sometimes the people don't know what they want. They think they know what they want, but if they got that, remember the people in the Old Testament wanted a king. I wanted a king. We want a king. We want a king. We want a king. God said, no, you don't need no king. The prophet said, no, you don't need no king. Yeah, but we want a king. We want a king. We want a king. But no, you don't need no king. Keep letting me lead you. No, we want a king. We want a king. All right, take your king. And messed them all up. Set them back for years. Because they thought they knew what they wanted. And so, the church has always been seen as a people organization. It's often seen as a seeker-friendly association. It's never been seen for its supernatural heavenly side. This view, I've underlined all that first paragraph, but this view has kept the church, pastors, and leaders majoring to make the church people conducive and people-centered. It has caused the world to see the church in the human perspective and plane. So now they don't see supernatural because we're always trying to please a person. You're always trying to please people. All right? God's will ain't gonna, listen, if it's just about pleasing you, watch this. You'll be pleased with God's will, but all the time God's will come and it won't feel pleasurable. You see the difference? It won't seem pleasurable because every time God's will come, it kind of cuts you a little bit. It check you a little bit. God's will start cutting at whatever it is that you got going on. God's will start cutting at whatever it is that he's, you know, every single one of us got things that we're working on. Your thing might not be, you know, we go straight to sin. Sin. No. You might be living right, but you still might have a little ego with you. I was reading today about Joseph, and they're talking about how Joseph had some ego with him. It's a powerful, powerful passage. I hope I'll be able to preach one day. Powerful passage, but he had a little ego with him, and that's why he had to go through. Joseph was, remember when Joseph got them interpretations of those dreams, and those guys got out of jail? He told him, when you go, listen to the statement. He said, when you go have favor on me and deliver me from this prison and tell the king about me. My me. Thank God for Joseph. My me. So they said, and the next thing he said, so he ain't learned it. So the sentence was, he stayed 2 more years in that prison. Then Pharaoh had a dream. Then the baker, whatever the guy was, remembered him. And then when Pharaoh came to this house, he said, it is not in me. God has your answer. Because he had learned the lesson. You see what I'm saying? So it can't be, I got to get back to this. That's a whole other lesson there. If you kept the church passing, imagine to keep the church people conducive, people centered. It has caused the world to see the church in the human perspective and plane. So now plane, the human perspective and a plane. I remember when we was learning geography about terrain, the planes were just flat across the ground. No humps. No vertical, nothing going up. It's just straight like that. And so it's kept us on a human plane and made us to be conducive. So now church, the church, as usual, has been like that. So now it treats the ministers to be seeker-friendly. So now we want people. Why you want people? Why you want a bunch of people? So it look like you're doing something. Why you want a lot of people there? So it look like you're anointed. So it looks like if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. So it looks like I'm doing the will. But numbers have never been an account of the will of God being done. Y'all remember, we didn't talk about it before, by Gideon. 32,300, come on. Got the will done. You see what I'm saying? Broke it down. And so it's not about all them people. So we cannot be people-centered. The church is not, it's not a people organization. Although it's an organization with people, and people's needs are met, but it cannot be centered around people. It has to be centered around the will of God. See, I think a lot of times we in ministry, we go at, in life, we go at this thing from the wrong direction. If we go at it the wrong direction, you get the wrong result. And the direction should be coming from the will of God and coming from that to bless the people. We've been trying to bless the people. We've been trying to bless the people with our ministry. We've been trying to bless the people. No. Just focus on the will of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. You see what I'm saying? Keeping my eyes stayed on what God's will is. And if I keep my eyes on God's supernatural, then it'll overflow. Even if he got to use me as the vessel, it'll overflow through me and bless the people. If I'm looking at the people, how can I see God? This is a statement I heard a long time ago. I always say it. I never forget it. I preach about it very often. It says, what you focus on expands. Whatever you focus on expands. Listen to me. Whatever you focus on expands. So if you focus on the people's issues and the people's problems, the people's issues and the people's problems expand. You think you're doing good because you focus on the issues, huh? And you think you're doing good because you focus on their problem. It's not about their problem or their issue. It's about God's will. You ain't got the answer no way. The answer is in God's will. Matthew 16:17, Jesus said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Bajona, for flesh and blood does not reveal this in you, but my Father who is in heaven. He's talking about supernatural, when he revealed to him that he was the Messiah. And watch this. Peter was commended by Jesus for moving his information level to the revelational flow of God the Father. However, later he's rebuked for bringing it into demonic level when his flesh and carnal mind took over. Y'all remember that? When Peter was like, no, they're not gonna crucify you, Jesus. Remember he told him? Jesus was trying to explain to him. He said, no, we know they're not going to take you. Then write down, I'm going to flip over. I'm going to come back to the last sentence. I'm going to flip over to Matthew 16:23. But he turned and said to Peter, the same chapter now, it's six verses over. Six verses over. He turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. For you are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. He went from a rock to a stumbling block. And this last sentence on page 31 on chapter 3, the first page, it says, leadership holds the key to keep the church in whatever plane they choose. Underline and think about it for a minute. Leadership hold the key to keep the church in whatever plane they choose. Now, there's a lot of, I love everybody when I say what I'm about to say, all right, but I just had to speak on the things that had to be spoken. There's a lot of people with a lot of people around. They got a lot of people running to meet him. But a lot of times, I heard an apostle say this one time. He said, I'll take one of my members in my church and put him up against 1,000 of theirs, and I bet one of my members will stand. Because it's a different ball game. It's a different level of impartation built on the principles of the Word of God. This is not for me to make you feel good. Anybody can make you feel good. You can turn on the radio and feel good. You can get on drugs and feel good. All right, if it's about feeling good, there's a lot of way in this feeling world to feel good. But it's not built on that. It's about making progress and more of God coming on the outside of us. More of God being revealed to us on the inside and then coming on the outside of us so we're being more like him. That's the goal. So it's not built. So now leadership, us, we're ministers, right? Now leadership chooses what plane the church is going to be in. Are we going to be seeker-friendly? Or are we going to be God-anointed? But we choose that. You know, the statement, follow the leader, right? As a leader goes, so do we go, right? So if we lead and seeker-friendly, the people going to be seeker-friendly. And now this is why the church has no power in the world, because they're going to be seeker-friendly. You know, most of the stuff that people do when they're witnessing, and we got, you know, thank God for tracks, and I love all that, and knocking on doors and all that stuff, I get what people be doing it. They go street witnessing, praise the Lord for all that. But most of the stuff that they be doing a lot of time is a seeker-friendly method to try to do what God wants to do. You cannot do what God wants to do outside of the supernatural. It cannot get done. Witnessing must be done in the supernatural. You can't just do it because you look at somebody and think they're not saved. It can't be done because you see somebody and you think maybe they need to hear about Jesus. That's you. But the supernatural, a witness. The people were converted when they saw Jesus, and people wanted to follow Jesus because they saw the supernatural. And it was proof to them. It was the power of God to them. This is what witnessing. And when you witness something, what does that mean? Huh? You seen something. I saw something. I can attest to something. I can go and be a witness in the court of law that I saw it. I saw it to be true. Now, you are a witness. You are a witness of Jesus Christ. Y'all born again, right? Right? You remember your day, right? You remember the Lord started changing things? He's still changing things in us, right? Right, right? Come on, talk to me. He's still changing things. You are a witness of the power of God. You are a witness of what the blood of Jesus, you are a witness of what the power of the cross can do. You are a witness of that. And the same way that it was not a regular thing when you got born again. It was not a regular move. It was not just a talk. It was not just a little thing you read out of a book. It was a supernatural move that changed your whole being. And the same way that it happened to you is the same way you got to deliver it to another. It cannot be seeker-friendly. It cannot be people-friendly. It's got to be challenging. The cross is challenging. The anointing of the cross challenges somebody to make a change. The love of God challenges somebody to do something different. It challenges them. And so we cannot be walking in the seeker friendly. You know, we want to go pass out something and do this, and then hopefully they come to Jesus. Them people need the anointing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't want your water bottles. I don't need your meal right now. And I'm not saying you don't do it, and I'm not saying you do whatever the Lord tells you to do, but at the end of the day, we cannot be on these. These things are what the world does. So what's the difference? There must be some power. There must be an anointing. There must be a supernatural element to what we are doing. And then look, we choose what element or what plane the church will be on. You seeker-friendly, you're going to raise seeker-friendly people. How you are is what you're going to make. Maybe somebody walking out the house today, and walking on my parents, somebody looked at me and said, boy, I thought that was pastor standing back there. I say, well, he spit me out. Because of what he is, I look just like him. He made me. You're going to create whatever you are. You're going to produce after your kind. So now we choose the plane. So now either we down here doing what everybody else doing and being lateral about this, and they can't tell the difference between Buddha and Jesus. Huh? Or they can't tell the difference between Muhammad and Jesus. No, it's a higher plane. But if you, Lord, lift us up. You remember that song? Y'all remember that song? Some of y'all don't remember that song. Lord, lift us up. Lord, lift us up where we belong. Y'all remember that song? Lord, lift us up where we belong, where we're supposed to be. Lord, lift us up. Not for prestige. Not for me to look like I know something. But I know that if we're on that supernatural plane, people will look up and see and try to go up there. People will raise up. You see what I'm saying? We cannot. So we choose what plane the church will be on. Praise the Lord. I love people. I love people. I smile at people. I talk to people. Y'all know me. I talk. We smile. You need something, a conversation, we'll talk about it. We'll pray about it. I'm like that all the time. We'll be like that. You can be like that. No problem with that. I have no problem with that. That's a part of just being. I'm fine with that. But there comes a point where it can't just be that. It can't just be good morning. How y'all doing? Hey, y'all. All right. Then what? Somebody come without a problem. We need some anointing. We need some power. We need some revelation. We need some supernatural discernment sometimes. So we can't be just on this seeker friendly thing. Leadership holds the key to whatever plane we're going to be on. Paragraph in page 32, it says, the pastors, the leaders, and those who are part of the building workforce must bring the church to its original purpose of being the house of God and the gateway of heaven. The house of God and the gate, the original purpose, back to the original intent. You know, church has turned into a social club. We come in here and we sitting and we discussing the Bible. Jesus ain't no discussions about the Bible. Jesus told them what thus said the Lord. He told them what the oracles of God were. It wasn't no discussion. We come here and have a group discussion and get some coffee, sit down and talk about it. No. That ain't what we called to do. God calls a man of God. I'm going to talk about submission in a minute. God calls a man of God for people to surround themselves around and to be connected to. And God delivers the oracles of God from that man of God's mouth that starts to cut in your life. And if we take it in right, the knives still keep swinging. And wherever you go, it begins to cut wherever you're going. Yeah. Yes, sir. You know, that's the goal. That's the goal. That's the goal, for that cutting anointing to continue to cut with you wherever you go. Just imagine if we all left here with that cutting anointing. The Lord told me something the other day, and he said this about our generation, and he said about what we're going to do, but he said, he told Joshua, he said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And the Lord told me, as he was with the apostle, he's going to be with us. Can you imagine what will happen if we get a hold of this anointing? All right, now this is a little deeper now. Now you got to be connected. You got to be submitted to get a hold of this anointing. I tell people that come to this school, don't be trying to come to this school and go be somebody else's child. Don't come in, you want the anointing here, but you won't go. No. No, it don't work that way. It don't work that way. God ain't got you here by accident. And so now the connection, imagine if that same anointing, y'all ain't seen no anointing like that ever. Say what you want. Like I said, because I'm saying, because my daddy, whatever, however y'all feel. I done been around, and I done seen. It ain't everywhere on every corner. And if we catch that thing, when he teaches class, and if we catch that thing and we walk with it, can you imagine what it'll be like? What kind of change we'll make in the communities, in the different places that we go in, and wherever we at, if we catch that anointing. So the pastor leads are those who bring the church to its original purpose of being the house of God and the gateway of heaven. Jump over to page 33. In the first paragraph it says, the church unusual is about to break forth in her governing grace and prevailing power. Underline it. Church and youth is about to break forth in her governing grace and prevailing power. The church will see the breaking forth of a new stature as she faces a new dawn of a greater future. And I wrote in my book, The Stature of Christ. You know, we talk about that in Ephesians 4. Until we come to the measure of the stature of Christ, right? Right? There's Ephesians 4, we're reading a minute. But we come into that measure. We come into that measure where we're walking like Jesus. Well, that step that we make has the same weight that Jesus' step made. You get what I'm saying? The same footprint Jesus got, the same footprint we'll have. The same effect we have in the same effect Jesus had in the city will be the same effect we'll have in the city. Think about what kind of effect Jesus had in cities. Y'all do a little study on Jesus. Read them gospels. And see what he uprooted everything in the city. They ain't know what to do with him, and the city just had to react how they react. Some of them got mad, some of them accepted, some of them didn't know what to do. But he brought shaking up. He brought that supernatural that shook up every foundation in the city. And that same way we should, that stature. So the church will be breaking forth in a new stature as she faces a new dawn of a greater future. Jump down a couple paragraphs. Right under where it says Genesis 35 and 5, that line right under there. God is about to manifest himself in Zion, the church unusual. When he does, the church will be seen in a new light as a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Y'all see that? Yeah. So we're not going to be the underdogs anymore. The church has been the underdog too long. The church has only been the underdog because we've just been the underdog. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because the priests rejected knowledge. We like that scripture. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we think it's because people don't know scriptures. But no, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Living by the book is a great clue. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge because the priest. You know who the priests are, right? You know we got different names for them, Reverend. You know, y'all know the names we use, right? The priests. The priests rejected knowledge. So now my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because the priests rejected knowledge. I'll take you to church at the church right now. That the people ain't making no progress because the preacher ain't preaching what he's supposed to preach. He hollering at them every week. I remember when Dan started preaching on finances and started preaching on financial increase, and it was amazing. I tell y'all some of the stories. It's amazing how some of these preachers would be living the life, but they wouldn't be preaching to their people. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they'd be living it, but they don't teach you. They don't teach the people how to sow. So now you got money flowing in one direction. Anybody want to pick offering up every week? Like they pick offering up every week. You got the money flowing that direction, but they're not teaching their people how to receive from the principle. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because the priests rejected knowledge. They got some churches right now don't believe in no healing. They just think when you take it, that's the wrath of God. So now my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because the priests. You know, I want you to understand how strong of a position as ministers we have and why it's imperative that we get what we must get because we choose the plane. You know, you're going to be held accountable for this. You know, in the time of judgment, you know, they say time of judgment, God will ask you, you know, a lot of people be like, oh, he'll ask you, but no. God's going to talk to you about, like, how did you handle ministry? Was it about you or was it about me? That's what he's going to ask you. Did you teach the people everything I said, regardless of the fact that you might receive persecutions? Everybody might not understand. Or were you all about self-preservation? As ministers, I tell people, you need to go home. You need to go back. You need to go get another dip. This ain't your calling. If you still got a bunch of you and you scared and you afraid, go back. Go do something else. Do not be quit ministry school today. It is not your thing. You've got to be bold, full of compassion, and full of boldness to do what God is calling you to do. And it ain't going to feel good all the time, and everybody ain't going to like you. It's never been about everybody seeker-friendly. It's never been seeker-friendly. It's never been about everybody liking you. Did God call us to be liked by everyone? Where that scripture at? Thou must be as likest by everybody. Where is that? It ain't in there. It's never been about like. It's all about love. Y'all see that? God's about to manifest himself in Zion. The church unusual. When he does, the church will be seen in a new light as a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Matthew 5:14, you are light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. That's simple, ain't it? 1 Corinthians 2. And you ought to be there already, 1 Corinthians 2. This first line, the next paragraph says, the current church must, I circled the word must, because it's not an option. It is not a, you choose it, or we'll see if we get on it or not. No. The current church must tap into the supernatural element so that she can become the church unusual. So now, no church unusual if no supernatural. You see that? The church must tap into its supernatural element in order to become the church unusual. So now, if the church is usual, that means it's all natural right now. That means there's more natural things going on in the church than supernatural things. Listen to me. And we'll read in a second. Get past my head of myself. She needs to know, underline this, she needs, talking about the church, she needs to know the divine principles of the operational dynamics as seen in Scripture. So I'll read all that together. The church, the current church must tap into the supernatural element so that she can become the church unusual. She needs to know the divine principles of operational dynamics as seen in the Scriptures. Listen to me. Listen, man. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 2 in a second, and I'm going to take you to another scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Listen. Listen. It ain't about hollering. It ain't about your growl. All right? It's not about your getting happy or making somebody shout. Listen, I love y'all, but I can come in here right now and give y'all a great show. And we can get y'all worked up and start. And lift your hand, hallelujah, I can do it. We can work it up. We can work it up right quick. We can get all your emotions. You start fizzing, you get the rocking in church, right? I know how we do it, huh? And you get the yeah, and you get the jerk right quick, and we going. We can get that going. Anybody can do that. Anybody can get you emotional. About your emotional. It's not about that. The church has been built on that stuff. A good hum. A good preach. Some cool acronyms. You know acronyms, how you put the letters out, right? Push, pray until something happens. Y'all know, right? I know some odd things. But y'all know how how church do it. They come in there saying all the cute little phrases. And saying all the little things and all the, they saying little things. It's all the little stuff. And get to holler and make you feel good and get you yelling, got you standing up. You get up, screaming, leave sweaty, no anointing. You're supposed to leave with the oil, but you left with your sweat. Yeah. Fall on the floor, get up the same way you fell. And so the church has been built on all this different stuff. Y'all think about it, y'all know it, tell the truth. Y'all have seen it, haven't y'all? We've been built on all the jargon, all the excitement, all the different stuff, all this. This is built on the choir. And you're built on these favorite singers. And you're built on this right here. They didn't tickle your emotions. So now you all caught up. And so it's been built on that, built on that, built on that. And it is not tapped into the supernatural element. You know when them people was hollering at you and preaching at you like that, you ain't changed. Right. Y'all know, see, people don't want to be real. You know you went home the same way you got there. You know when you left. In my life, can I talk for me? I always have a moment of reckoning for me. See, like after I finish this class, I'm going to have a moment of reckoning. I'm going to sit down and have a moment with me and with the Lord. It's a moment of reckoning. I'm going to reflect. And I want to know, did I get up here and just say a bunch of stuff and made them feel good and look like I was a good preacher? Or did I really deliver what God wanted me to say? So it's a moment of reflection. Everybody got moments of reflection. Y'all know y'all do, right? And you know when you go to the meeting, they do all that yelling, all that hollering. I don't care who it is. They do all that yelling and hollering. You know there's a moment that you sat at that red light and everything was quiet and you was like, I ain't getting nothing tonight. Tell the truth. Y'all, we know it, y'all. Come on, let's be real. You know it when you sit down. If you don't get it at the red light, you get home and you lay in the bed and you about to go to sleep and you like, I don't even know how to use nothing they told me tonight because they didn't tell me how to use it. They didn't tell me how to work nothing. Got excited. Well, you can get excited at the basketball game. You can get excited watching wrestling on TV. You can get excited about all kinds of stuff. It's not about the excitement. It's about enlightenment. That's where we at. That's what we're looking for. So now we cannot be built on excitement. Because excitement is going to fade. The same way you got excited is going to wait. The same way you're going to be unexcited. Then what? Now when we come back to earth. Yeah, all right. Y'all know. I'm trying to be practical as I can. Y'all know when you get up in church and you get excited, right? Praise the Lord for that, all right? But now when I came off the high, because you're always going to come down off the high. When I come off the high, what do I have something to do? Do I have something to work with? Can I, watch this, can I go back? Do I know the way? Oh, my God. Do I know? Did they give me the map? Do I know the way to get back to that supernatural? Do I know the way in my regular time when it's just me? Do I know how to tap into that supernatural element? Can I do that? Because if I can't, we built on the wrong thing. If I can't, it's been something else. It's been traditions of men. The doctrines of men. We've been doing the doctrines of men for years. The church is separated. We're going to talk about being one. The church is separated so much because of the doctrines of men. I went to Western Seal when I was at LSU, and I realized I saw where the church broke up because this person didn't want to do it like this person. And they ain't want to wear that, so they ain't want to wear that. And I ain't want to listen to you, I ain't want to listen to you. And before you know it, over years, now we've branched out and we've turned exactly into what the enemy wanted. We all spread out all over the place. Not spreading the gospel all over the world. We just spread. We against each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Y'all have heard the scripture before. We read verse 1 through 5. Paul's talking. He said, "Our brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I ain't come to you with a good hoop. I ain't come to you with a good growl in my voice or a good hum in my message. I ain't come to you with all these little words or these deep words that you got to go look up 20 times after service because it was too big for you to understand. Y'all know what I'm talking about. For I determined not to know anything among you. I don't know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." You see that? And go back to verse 3. He said, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. I was with you. See, when I came to you, when I came to you, like when I got a minister, yeah, it looked all exciting. Like, he know the word. No. When I came to you, I came in weakness and in trembling and in fear. Much trembling. Because I know I ain't know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I didn't have nothing else to lean back on. I didn't have no cool little words to say to you to make you think I was smart. I might not have that type of education. I might not have all those different things. I might not have no voice to be able to hum to you. So I came to you not knowing nothing but Jesus Christ. I don't know nothing but that. And I came to you in fear and in trembling, in much trembling, he said. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. Now say that again, because he said it twice. Excellency of speech. You know what I mean? I came not with excellency of speech. Then he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words, enticing words, enticing words, enticing words, enticing words. It's easy to entice somebody if you're talking enough. You ever talked to a fast talker before? A lot of preachers are fast talkers. A lot of people that's claiming the cloth right now, they're fast talkers. So they'll talk a lot of noise to you. They talk that junk to you. They talk that, y'all know how they sit in the street, they talk, they spit that game to you. Right? They spit that game, but pimps be spitting game. Huh? Yeah, everybody else can spit game. What do you need to spit game to me in the church? Talking slick to me in the church. I don't need you talking slick to me and trying to make me feel like I'm... No. Tell me. I need some unadulterated word. Not with enticing words of man wisdom. But in demonstration of the Spirit, up. In demonstration of the Spirit, up. Sounds supernatural to me. In demonstration, up. In demonstration of the Spirit and of what?
Power.
Watch this, verse 5. Y'all read. Ready, read.
But in
but in the power that your faith should not stand in all this other stuff, but in the power of God. This is where your faith stands. I even put it in my Bible, and I wrote it down, it says that your faith should not stand. I put them there. Your faith will not stand. It can't do it. It must be founded on the power of God and nothing else. 2 Timothy chapter 3. See if you don't see the church in this chapter. The church as usual. This know also that in the last days, perilous times, that's where we're at in the last days and perilous times, amen? Perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Come on, Reverence, find where we at now. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That's a good one, because we're not talking about children right now, little kids. We're talking about, where's your spiritual father? Where's your covering? We think we're disobedient to parents. We think about little kids, you whoop them, put them in the corner and get punished. No. What about yours? Too many renegades out here. They're all over here claiming all this stuff and opening all these churches and doing all these things. You ain't got no daddy. You're opening these bastard churches. There must be a father in the house. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I know that right there, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady. They all in their own head, huh? Huh, heady, watch this. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And then verse 5 says, read. Having a form of godliness. Looks godly. Got the collar on. Huh? Y'all got the collar on. Got the suit on. Got the biggest Bible in the room. Quoted some scripture to you. You know, the devil was quoting scriptures to Jesus when he took him up and all that. Yeah, the devil was quoting them scriptures. He was quoting them scriptures. You know how long the devil been around, right? Y'all know how long he been around? He didn't read some of that Bible before. He just can't access the supernatural because he ain't got no access to the Holy Ghost. He ain't got no access to the relationship with God. Oh, but he didn't read them scriptures. So he got some carnal understanding. That plane. He got the he on that. That's why you don't win on that plane. So you got all this other stuff. Boasters. That's why you get over the boasters and lovers of yourself more than anything else. And your truth breakers. And you get all this stuff. Y'all see all this foolishness been in the church, right? Huh? Y'all see all this foolishness, right? Because they're having a form of godliness, but denying the power, the supernatural element, denying the power thereof, the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost that really is the foundation of it all. They deny it all, but they got a good form. You look like, you know, they say when the enemy come, they say he pretty. They start describing the devil. He said he turned himself into an angel of light. Say he looked the part. He looked just like what it's supposed to look like. So it ain't about the form. Form and fashion. Y'all ever heard that about in the Bible? They're talking about form and fashion? And all this form and fashion. I want to talk to y'all for a minute. But you leave out of here with no form and fashion. You about to yelling and talking and hollering at these people and saying all this different stuff and trying to come up with these big words and waving your hand because you've seen somebody do it. Preach the word of God. Find out, dig in this word to the Holy Spirit, enlightens this word, and then preach it then. This form of godliness. We have a form of godliness. We'll handicap the church. We'll handicap the church if we don't touch the supernatural. We'll handicap the progress. We will. I'm saying we will, because we have ministry school, right? We in the training center, right? I'm not talking to the pews right now. I'm talking to us. We've got to get a hold. We choose what plane it's going to be on. We got a choice whether it's going to be church unusual or church as usual. We got a choice. What we decide to do with it, having a form of godliness, but denying. Watch this. Listen to the statement. If you meditate on a while, you get something. Having a form, I'm looking like I work for God, but I'm denying the power. Not. There's a difference between missing and denying. There's a difference. You get one thing, you miss the power, or you know, grace. Thank God for grace, right? Right? See, grace will help you when you miss it at, right? Right? But grace can't kick it in when you're in denial. You got that Heisman. You ever seen the Heisman where they're in denial of the power? Like, I want my form. It's more about how I look than what I get done. I care more about how people see me than how their life gonna change. False accusers, truth breakers, lovers of themselves more than anything else, covetous. Don't that sound like that? It sounds like it's about me more. See, it can't be about you. It never was about you. It never could be about you. This is the only way you're going to operate in the anointing. It can't just be about you. For the anointing to operate strong in your life, you got to have less of self. Less of self. The more self that you got in your situation, and the more self that you rely on your situation, the less your anointing gonna be. A lot of self, less anointing. That's how it's gonna be. A lot of me, less of him. He must increase, I must. This is the way it goes. The current church must tap into the supernatural element so that she can become the church in you. She needs to know the divine principles of the operational dynamics as seen in the scripture. A prerequisite for unusual is supernatural. You know what I say when I say prerequisite? I didn't tell y'all about them big words. I ain't trying to use them now. What you need before. What you got to have before you get to unusual is supernatural. If you ain't got no supernatural, you will not see unusual. This is what we look for. Now, it's not, you got to talk to the Lord about this. You got to spend time with the Holy Ghost about this. You got to pray about this, and you have to seek the Holy Spirit about this. This is not for you to go and try to be unusual, because then you turn into a freak. Then you're weird. All right, then you put yourself over in the lane where the devil can start doing some stuff for you. All right, watch this. You can't even go. The goal has to be just supernatural in the power of God. And that is only accessed through the love of God. That is only accessed when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, everything, your strength. That's where the supernatural is accessed. The supernatural is accessed in seeking first the kingdom of God's righteousness and all these things will be added. That's where the supernatural, acknowledge all your ways, I direct your path. That's the supernatural is on that path. That's where the supernatural is in his word. That's where the supernatural is accessed. The supernatural is not accessed in you figuring out that you want to be unusual. Do y'all get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You cannot plan to be unusual. I want to be unusual. No, that's never the beginning part. The beginning part is the love of God. Then God's will being done. And the Holy Spirit shedding that love abroad in my heart. And that's where it begins. If you start with the right thing first, then everything else will line up after. You won't have to be or try to be unusual because you will be unusual. You won't have to try to do the supernatural because the supernatural will be a part of your function. If you got it on first, you got it first. Amen.